Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two things that I'd like to highlight from the Passion reading for today. And the first actually begins on Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is meek and having salvation. So right on Palm Sunday, right at the beginning of Holy Week, we receive this revelation from God that Jesus is the King, not only of the Jews, but He is the rightful King of all creation, and He is the true King who rightly claims allegiance from everyone. So when we come to the Passion narrative, well, first we have to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John's Gospel, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in addition to what the other Gospels say, John tells us that when the crowd of thugs came to take Jesus into custody, Jesus stepped forth and said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Christ responded by saying, "I am He." And John tells us, when He had said unto them, "I am He," they went backward and fell to the ground. And then again, Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And He said, "I told you that I am He. Therefore, if you seek Me, let these go their way." All right? So right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the moment of maximum weakness, Jesus once again shows that He is in charge, that He is the King, that He is the Lord God Almighty. And when He utters those fateful words, "I am," the crowd of soldiers fall on their faces and have to regather themselves, get up again, and then Jesus allows them to take Him into custody after making sure that they let the others go. All right, so now we come to Pilate. And Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus asks him, "Are you saying this of yourself, or did somebody else tell you that about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest, I am a king." All right, so right there at the trial of Jesus, just as He had confessed before the high priest, "I am the Son of God, I am the Christ, and I am the one who will one day judge the living and the dead," so here before Pontius Pilate, the man whose decision has power of life and death, Jesus, after explaining to Pilate that His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but it is a spiritual, heavenly kingdom, which is far greater than any earthly kingdom, Pilate says, "Oh, so you are a king." And Jesus said, Right out of your own mouth it comes. I am a king. So now, when Pilate is taunting the Jews because he hates them, all right? He resents being put in this position. He obviously is impressed with Jesus. Not that he is a believer, not that he's repented, but before him stands this Jesus who has obviously made a very big impression upon him. And so he's trying to set Jesus free. He likes Jesus, and he doesn't want to harm him. So he taunts the Jews, and he brings out Jesus, and he says, "Behold your king!" And they say, "Away with him! Crucify him!" And he says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, and this is, by the way, one of the saddest words that any Jew could ever say. "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus away. Now the final act that Pilate plays in this passage is that he writes what in Latin is called a titulus. It is a board in which the accusation of the criminal was nailed above his head on the cross. And this titulus, this board, the inscription said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So that as Jesus hung there, nailed to the cross, above his head was the title, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And St. John tells us in his Gospel that many of the Jews read this title because the place where Jesus was crucified was very close to the city. And so you couldn't come in or go out of the city without seeing Jesus hanging on the cross and that title above his head, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And to add insult to injury, it was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin, so that no matter what language you spoke, you knew exactly what the title over the crucified Jesus actually said. This infuriated the Jews. "Don't write that. Write instead that he claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate dismisses them. "What I've written, I've written. Lump it," he says. "Lump it." So what are we to get from all of this? We are to see, according to John's Gospel, that the one who allowed himself to be taken into custody, the one who boldly confessed his identity and mission, the one who stood forth and claimed to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of Israel, the fulfillment of all the divine promises, this king truly was a king. And in procuring for us our salvation, he went to the cross, the last place that you would expect a king to go. But notice that back in Zechariah's prophecy, "Thy king cometh unto thee. He is meek and having salvation." Jesus rode into Jerusalem, hailed as the Messiah and the King, precisely to give his life on the cross as the King, so that by his championship and his fight against sin, death, and the devil, we might be saved. See, and that's what John's gospel is emphasizing. Jesus the King endured the ravages of sin, death, and the devil. He bore up under the accusation of the law and the wrath of God, and he did so to accomplish our salvation. And so at the end of the Passion account, it says, when Jesus knew that all things were now accomplished, he received the vinegar, and then his last words are, "It is finished." The plan of God for the salvation of sinners has been fulfilled and realized completely. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Thank God we have such a king. Thank God that he rules us in grace, mercy, and salvation. That he comes to us in our weakness and in our failings. And he comes to us as our Lord, who has paid in full for our every sin. And he places the hand of his grace upon us and causes our fears to dissipate, and that we may stand forth not in servile fear, but in childlike confidence, assured in Christ of the grace and mercy of God. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention this morning is that in John's Gospel, he talks about the fact that the legs of Jesus were not broken. Right, it was getting late in the day, and the next day was a high holy Sabbath day. So the chief priest didn't want the bodies to be hanging on the crosses on the high Sabbath day. So they requested that Pilate send the soldiers out there to break their legs. What would that do? It would hasten their death. Right? It was, these guys were all close to death. And so basically what they do is take a sledgehammer and come and smash your shins, break your legs, and this would hasten your death. That way everybody would be dead by the time the sun went down, and they wouldn't have to be hanging on the cross on the high holy day that was coming up on the next morning. So Pilate gives the order, and he sends his soldiers out with their sledgehammers to break the legs of the crucified. And they broke the legs of the first, and they broke the legs of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers was holding his spear, and he took the spear and he thrust it up into Jesus' side. And John says, and forthwith came out blood and water. And John makes a big deal of this. He says, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. In other words, John says, I was there and I saw it. I saw the fact that they did not break his legs, and I saw the fact that when they pierced his side, blood and water came out of his side. Water, of course, a sign of cleansing. Blood, a sign of sacrificial offering. And these came out of the side of Jesus, testifying that his death was a cleansing death, a death that has covered and paid for sins. So, he says, these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. And then he quotes two passages of scripture. One is from Exodus chapter 12, where it says, a bone of him shall not be broken. And then from Psalm 22, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Those are the two scriptures that were fulfilled in this one act where Jesus' legs are not broken, but his side is pierced and blood and water come out of his side. And what is John saying here? He is saying that because his bone was not broken, this fulfills Exodus chapter 12, where it says, a bone of him shall not be broken. A bone of whom? If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, you'll see that the bone that would not be broken is the bone of the Passover lamb that was sacrificed, his blood smeared on the door, and then he was roasted whole, not one of his bones to be broken. So when it says here that the bone of him shall not be broken, we learn that the Passover lamb of the Old Testament, whose blood marked the door and protected the children of Israel from the angel of death, that lamb and its blood were a type and a sign of Jesus to come into the world and to give his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. That's why John's gospel begins with John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And so it is here. We are reminded, a bone of him shall not be broken. Jesus is the true Passover lamb. It is his blood that protects us from the angel of death. And it is he who has taken away the sin of the world. Finally, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And this is a quotation from Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is a graphic anticipation, like Isaiah 53, of the sufferings of the Messiah for the sins of the world. And so the Messiah, the King, the Savior of the world, is the one who is pierced. And he who is pierced shows us his saving intention by the blood and the water that come from his wounded side. And so today, take heart. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. You have a gracious and merciful King. You have the true Passover who is sacrificed for us. And you are ready to celebrate the joys of the resurrection with hearts cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen.